Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tyreek Hill edged T.O. in a 40-yard dash. Tone, who would win if we raced?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. You think either of us are making the full 40? Really?
In the
My
jog?
My only shot, yeah, if you're in the boot, if you're in that boot, I have a chance to win this thing if I can go 40.
I'm out of the boot. I'm out of the boot. Huh?
Then we're both
cleared.
Gonna be so slow.
Cleared my left foot by Dr. Baker in Chicago yesterday. I'm ready to go, baby.
Nobody's using a stopwatch on us. They're using a sundial. We're slow and old. Crazy old man in his own attic, and this is episode 99. In today's episode, Kevin Garnett wants to buy his old team. The Tokyo Olympic could be in doubt again, and three Astros get hit by pitches. But we begin today with a report from WEEI in Boston that the Dodgers and Mookie Betts are close to making a deal. Jeff Passan of ESPN says it will be for 13 years and $380 million.
Wow.
Betts hasn't played a single game for the Dodgers since being traded there in the offseason by the Red Sox. Wilbon, does this massive deal make sense to you?
Yeah, it's the Dodgers. And even though 13 years would carry him to 40, it could be sort of front-loaded to the back end. You know, you could make it, I guess, structure it so that it doesn't kill you when he's 38, 39, and 40, and he's like us in the 40 at that point. So, yeah, it makes sense. The Dodgers, Tony, look, there's four teams that their fan bases, the roots are so deep that even if you don't have fans in baseball for a season and a half, two seasons, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cubs, I'm not even putting some other really big market teams in there, Houston, Philly, the Mets. I don't know that those teams have roots as deep as the four I named. So, yes, for those fan bases and those clubs and where they operate and how they operate and their ambition and the deep pockets, yes, it makes sense, even though there is risk in these times.
Mookie Betts is a great player. I want to go to statistics on this and get it right. He's played five full years in the majors. He's got four gold gloves already. He's got one MVP. The rap on him is that he's small. He's 5'9", but Jose Altuve is smaller than that and is a great player. Dustin Pedroia, smaller than that and was a great player. It's all the stuff that I read, though, Mike, that I read that as you analyze baseball, you see that a person's peak years are 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. He's 27 now. I agree with you that it's worth it, but I think it's worth it because if you get something in the first 4 or 5 years, you don't really care what happens in the last 4 or 5 years. The cautionary tale is Albert Pujols, but I believe he made a jump at 32, not 27. So I agree with you. I hadn't thought of the Dodgers' money, but I agree with you. It's worth it, yes.
Well, the Dodgers, Tony, look, the Dodgers have to have stars as well. We talk about what the Lakers have to have. The Dodgers are in that same market. They got not just stars in terms of people who are big stars who don't necessarily produce. Mookie Betts gives it to you. And, Tony, he has not reached his prime. I was going to mention Pujols as well. Pujols left it all in St. Louis. And he had a couple of really good years in Anaheim, but not like he had in St. Louis. You would think that Betts, between now and 32, he could give you his very best years in a Dodger uniform. So, yes, I think this is a great move. And the Dodgers, they're playing to win it, man. They're not playing it to win a division. They're trying to win it.
Yeah, well, they're in the playoffs every year, and they're a really good team. I'll point out two things. 2 and 3 years ago, you would have looked at baseball, and you would have said that Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Mookie Betts were three superstars for young players. All of them are now locked up forever.
Yeah.
They're locked up forever. They have unbelievably long-term contracts. You know, and I mean, I think that that's meaningful. The other note that I had is about Tony Clark. And I wonder if Tony Clark and the other people on the head committee for the Players Association will back off the notion that the owners are colluding against paying people a lot of money.
It's baseball.
Because this is a lot of money.
Yeah, but nobody backs off in baseball, neither one of those two sides. Let's move to Kevin Garnett's interest in buying the Minnesota Timberwolves from a man he not all that long ago called a snake who, quote, doesn't know bleep about basketball, close quote. Glenn Taylor, that owner, is exploring a sale of the team, which is currently valued at close to $1.4 billion with a B dollars. The bad blood stems from KG's contention that Taylor once backed out of a commitment to him to make him a part owner. But now Garnett is being more diplomatic, tweeting, quote, "No two people love the city more than myself and Glenn Taylor, and I look forward to trying to work with him to achieve my dream," close quote. Tony, the Wilf family may also bid. You think KG is likely to get the team?
So it gives me an opportunity to once again quote the smartest man in television, the late Don Allmeyer, who said the answer to all your questions is money. Kevin Garnett would be a local hero, would be a nice thing if he owned the team. I'll go a step further. Kevin Garnett, a black man in Minnesota where George Floyd was murdered, that might accomplish some healing in that particular city and maybe even around the country. But how much money does he have? He doesn't have enough money by himself. So who is he going to put together to make this bid? You mentioned Ziggy Wilf and that family. They got money, and they've been very good owners of the Minnesota Vikings. Very good owners. So if you're another owner in the league, you may want Kevin Garnett, but if the bid is much lower than the Wilfs, you're not going to devalue your own franchise by giving it away for less than it's worth.
This has nothing
to do. So I think it depends, Mike. Who does Kevin Garnett get involved
with? Well, that's where I'm going, Tony. This has nothing to do with Glenn Taylor and bad blood between them. Nothing. Kevin Garnett is said to be trying to really quickly get a group together. That sounds late. Not that it's any fault of Kevin Garnett. He might not have known this team was definitely going to be put up for sale, and as it appears right. will happen. You got to have billions of dollars, and Kevin Garnett by himself is a wealthy man by any standard, any place in the world, particularly the United States of America. But Kevin Garnett doesn't have even Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Alex Rodriguez money. He's not in that category of money. So he's got to get multiple billionaires in place to buy this team, Tone. And so, yes, for all the reasons you mentioned, amen to everything you said about the symbolism and the practical nature of Kevin Garnett, who is beloved in the state of Minnesota, potentially owning that team. But there are going to be some other folks in there, right, other groups.
Yeah.
And they may be looking, by the way, they may want to include Kevin Garnett. They may want to include, I don't know, I'm going to pick somebody else who's black and famous with Minnesota roots. Dave Winfield, okay, a buddy of yours for a long time. Dave Winfield, who we both know, there are other people in Minnesota, and this is going to be an attractive situation to a lot of them, not just Kevin Garnett.
Well, Glenn Taylor has said publicly he does not want to sell it to anybody who would move it out of Minnesota, even though it would be worth more if it was moved out of Minnesota. Kevin Garnett wouldn't move it out. The Wilf family wouldn't move it out. They're not going to do that. Minneapolis, St. Paul, by the way, has all four major teams. There's only 10 or 11 cities in the country that can say that. I do find it interesting that he called him a snake, and now they're buddy-buddy. That great phrase, politics makes strange bedfellows. Yeah. I guess buying a team does as well. Let us move to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, which were supposed to start this coming Friday. They've been postponed until next summer. USA Today has a big story that quotes health experts as saying these Olympics are doubtful for next year. The pandemic will still be in play. Japan, which has spent $12 billion already on this stuff, has said that if the Olympics can't go in 2021, they will simply be canceled. Wilbon, what is your reaction to this?
Tony, it makes me sad, first of all, as someone who has covered 10 Olympics, you know, 10. 9 for the Washington Post and 1 for ESPN. I love the Olympics. I know how much you love the Olympics because a lot of that time,
love them.
We were smaller and had hair, we were sitting shoulder to shoulder covering the Olympics.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. Last year, not knowing any of this was coming, I was in Japan. And there were so many times and places that a tour guide would say, and this is a venue for so-and-so. And here's where some of the dorms are going to be for the athletes. And you looked at this and you sort of pictured a year from now. And now here we are a year from then, and we're not getting it, and we could very well not get it again. And Tony, it makes me sad for the athletes involved, people who have trained their whole lives to get to be in position to represent their countries for the Olympics. And I'm thinking about that part of it more than the economics of it. But you got to think about the science of it. At least we will. We are not deniers of science on this show. And so when they say we may not be able to do this next year either, it's just sort of chilling, is it not?
I've got to tell you that when I heard about this story, I was surprised. because I read the papers every day and I watch news on television, and every day, if there's any silver lining to the pandemic, it is the notion that progress is steady on vaccines, that progress is steady on treatments. And if you tell me we're a year out, I would have thought there would be something by then that athletes could avail themselves of. I would have thought, honestly, Mike, a year from today, I would have thought fans would be in the stands and the Olympics would be totally viable. So the gloominess of this surprises me. It makes me distraught because I too love the Olympics and I've covered a bunch of them. This, as we get ready to start baseball tomorrow in the United States, this knocked me back a little
bit. Well, but Tony, let's stick with baseball for a second. There was a story, I don't know if it was in Sports Illustrated where I read it, but in March, I read something that sort of tried to project and sort of, you know, provide some context and balance instead of just hype. And it talked about being at Wrigley Field opening day for fans returning in 2022. And at the time I read this, yes, this was in March. This piece, I wish I could remember where I read it. And at first, Tony, I read it and I was annoyed. And I'm like, 2022, don't just come with the doom and gloom scenario of 2022. That just skips over opening day of 2021. And it says fans aren't going to be back for next year either. And Tony, as we sit here, and in the United States of America, where you talk about the lack of sort of planning and being ahead of this,
a coherent policy.
Okay, well, yes. We don't have that. And we don't know when we're going to get it, if we're going to get it. So how do we know when we're going to get fans back? Japan seems to be ahead of us. Everybody's ahead of us. But, Tony, I don't think that's as far-fetched as I thought it was 2 or 3 months ago.
And again, I'm thinking it's a year out and things are going to get better.
Hope you're right.
And you're taking the other way. Let us take a break. Coming up, 3 big-named Astros got hit by pitches yesterday. Retaliation or just bad luck?
And later, the NFL comes to a decision about the number of games in Tony's favorite thing, the preseason.
We're starting sports up, and this is saying a year from now, it's not viable.
We're not starting up with fans.
It knocks me out.
You gotta have fans at the Olympics, Tony. You're not gonna have empty stands.
I think you do.
We ain't starting that up
television
yet.
It's a television show for every country in the world. It's
to
a
pay
television
for it,
show.
You have to have fans.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
One more headline, and it involves 3 Astros getting hit by pitches yesterday. With the bases loaded in the second against Royals pitcher Jorge Lopez, Jose Altuve got nicked on the forearm. Alex Bregman was next up, got brushed by a breaking ball. Later in the fifth, George Springer took one off the elbow.
Ooh.
Wilbon, whether you think these were intentional or not, do you think teams will target the Astros for their cheating scandal when the real season starts?
Tony, I think it's situational. I think it depends on the score of the game, who's pitching. You might get a guy who's just hacked off because he had a bad outing. He's already down 6-1, and he could throw at some guys. And then there's some pitchers who might plan to throw at him when they start, but the game is tight. They want to win a game. That team is in a tough situation, a game or two above 500. And he says, no, I'm not dealing with this. We're going to get these guys out. So I think it's entirely 100% situational, no matter what may be discussed in the clubhouse on the way to the field.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think the Astros are going to skate on this whole thing this year for a variety of reasons. The number one reason is the season that we're going to have is going to be 60 games long. So each game is more important out of 60 than it is out of 162. All three guys that got hit, and I wasn't sure the first two were intentional, but all three of those hits produced runs. You can't do that if you're the other team. You can't get involved in a strategy that's going to cost you the game because you're drilling Astros and people are coming around to score. So I agree with you. I think if it's a 10-2 game and you're angry, you might throw at somebody. Yeah. But I think at the beginning of a game and in a close game, you're not going to do it. You can't give up the run.
And by the way, I didn't think two of those looked like they were intentional at all. I mean, swing was Altuve, right? Striding into the ball. The ball was barely off the inside corner. Yeah. So I didn't think there was anything to that. You know, if Springer doesn't get his elbow up, it's going to hit him in the head. That's a little different. But I think it's going to be situational. Like you, Tony, this is not the same as a 162-game season. It just ain't.
No, it's not. And the Astros skate, and my personal agony is that the Washington Nationals don't get to get that carpet ride by being world champions because everybody's talking about a virus and not the season. Let's take one last break, but still to come. With Pittsburgh out, the Blue Jays are suddenly in desperate need of a home field.
And Giannis Antetokounmpo comes clean and admits he wasn't telling the truth about a little something-something. I think it's a little something-something. Just a little.
I think it's huge. It's terrible.
Not.
I wonder where they're going to play, Toronto. Canada should let them back in. I mean, they should.
That was my case. I made it last week. They weren't listening.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 25th birthday, Ezekiel Elliott. LeSean McCoy calls Zeke, quote, the best running back in football. But Zeke himself has this notion that he is being disrespected, despite the fact that no running back in the NFL is within 1,000 yards of his 5,405 rushing yards since he entered the league in 2016. Zeke went on Twitter to clap back at an ESPN piece that downgraded him to the third best running back in the league and had scouts talking him down. Zeke wrote, quote, put respect on my name. Women lie, men lie, the stats don't. Go do your homework, unquote. But Zeke's stats last season, second in the league in rushes with 301, fourth in yards with 1,357, and fifth in touchdowns with 12, were actually lower than normal because of the absurdly high standard he has set. He had a career low 84.8 rush yards per game. But look at the larger body of work. Zeke led the league in rushing twice in his first three seasons, made the Pro Bowl three of his first four. Jerry Jones apparently appreciates him because he signed Zeke to a six-year, $90 million extension last summer and may have paid for that condo in Cabo.
Another obnoxious Cowboy, and that's too bad because he's a great player. Although, if you wanted to make the argument, if you were starting a real team, not fantasy, and you wanted to take McCaffrey, or you wanted to take Barkley, or you wanted to take Derrick Henry, you can make the argument you would take any of those three guys and not Zeke Elliott first. And Zeke Elliott is great, but I think I would take Derrick Henry right now. I think I would.
Happy anniversary, Greg Maddux. On this day 23 years ago, while pitching for the Atlanta Braves, Maddux threw a complete game 4-1 victory over his old team, the Cubs.
Gracie.
The news was that Maddux threw only 76 pitches, Only 13 of them were called as balls. That kind of efficiency was Maddux's signature. 76 pitches in 9 innings. When Gio Gonzalez was driving me crazy on the Nats, he regularly had 76 pitches in the 3rd inning. Maddux's numbers are insane. He pitched at least 194 innings for 21 consecutive seasons. He won 4 Cy Youngs. 9 different times he had the lowest walks to 9 innings ratio in the league. His career ERA was 3.16. But the big number is 355 wins. It's unlikely anybody gets that many again. The closest active pitcher is Justin Verlander with 225 wins, and he's 37. He's not getting to 355. He's probably not getting to 300. Greg Maddux planted the flag so far out there, you almost can't see it.
Clemens or Maddux, right-handed pitcher. I'm not going back to Gibson and Jenkins. I'm going to make this 1980 on. Maddux or Rocket?
Maddux for me. He doesn't have the power, but he just worked the plate better
Maddux.
To me.
Maddux to me, too.
Both great.
Yeah, they were.
Happy trails to Giannis not practicing during quarantine. If you remember back in April, as NBA players waited to see if their season would restart after Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus and Adam Silver pulled the plug on sports in America, the Bucks star said he didn't have a court to go to. So he was at home, riding a bike, working on a treadmill and lifting weights. Quote, "I don't play basketball," unquote, Antetokounmpo said then. Yesterday, he admitted he was lying and trying to get an edge on his peers. He said, quote, "Anybody out there that thought I didn't have access to a gym, they don't even know me," unquote. Even though he was the one who said it. Quote, "I just said that to get ahead of the competition," Antetokounmpo slyly said. Antetokounmpo is the favorite to win the MVP this season, an award that will not consider any of the 8 upcoming restart games. But Antetokounmpo says now, quote, "To be honest with you, I haven't really thought about it. My main focus is to get better, win games, help my team play good basketball, and go and try to win the big trophy," unquote. Which sounds great, except for the "to be honest with you" part.
When we did this story in live time, I used the words "tiny fib" to describe what I thought about what Giannis was saying in real time. I'm going to use the words again, "tiny fib." It doesn't rise to anything else other than that. I thought he was having a wink when he was saying it. I said then he could have gone to any grade school in Wisconsin and gotten a key and gone in and shot, and he could have. Maybe he did.
Yeah. Tiny fib. No errors today. Let's go to the big finish. Patrick Beverley of the Clippers left the bubble for what was called an emergency matter. Your thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts now, but Montrezl Harrell and Mr. Beverley, Chicago's own, they need to be playing with the Clippers once the playoffs start if the Clippers are going to advance to the finals. The state of Pennsylvania rejected the Blue Jays' plan to play home games in Pittsburgh. Where now?
That's sad for me. I guess Buffalo, that's their minor league affiliate, and it's in the Eastern time zone. The NFL officially scrapped preseason games. Are you surprised?
A little bit, Tony. For the owners to roll over like this on something they care about, that means they're going to try to extort something from the players further down the line or maybe even next week. Russell Westbrook practiced with the Rockets. Big deal?
He's a great player. He had the virus. Presumably, he's better now. And the players can win everything against the owners right now. Last one, NBA scrimmage tonight, the Pelicans and the Nets. I'm sure you're intrigued.
No, not by scrimmages. That's even worse than what you call exhibition games. Not yet. We got plenty of time for intrigue.
Out of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Steve Watson, shout out. Good night, Canada.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.